Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food fun and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiedini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. Chefs and food buyers, try Aussie Select's fully cooked, pasture-raised Australian lamb. Enjoy flavors like agave, rosemary, tikka masala, and more. Available sliced or whole. Discover more at AussieSelect.com. This week we have the talented chef Lance Nitahara joining us, and trust me, you won't want to miss this. He hails from the stunning shores of Oahu, Hawaii. Chef Lance has a culinary journey that spans across the globe. He's taken his roots from the islands, blending them with rich culinary traditions learned at the Culinary Institute of America. That's the CIA, baby. It's fascinating how he navigates the world of flavors, and today he's here to share that experience with us. But that's not all. But wait, there's more. Chef Lance isn't just an incredible chef. He's also an educator, shaping the next generation of culinary talent. He's been recognized for his outstanding contributions to the culinary competition, coaching students to national victories. With his unique perspective as an instructor and competitor, we're going to dive deep into that. And what that means is he's going to bring the big island flavors to a global audience. That's basically what it means. I tell you what, today, in-house, we have the Pooch Rivera.
Hello, hello.
Yes, my man. This was whirlwind, you know? Came in late last night.
As it always is.
Yeah. You're here?
While the French Quarter burns, as we speak, guys, there's a big fire in the French Quarter. So shout out to everybody in New Orleans and that whole culinary scene down there. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, everybody, if you don't know, Chef Pooch, he's from Louisiana, from New Orleans. And you just got word over there on the
Royal Sonesta Hotel, which is right across the street from Restaurant Revolution. Yeah. It's just kind of crazy.
That's a big property.
That's too. a big deal with the Super Bowl and such coming. So it's kind of crazy.
All right, so today you made some really, really pretty dishes. Let's talk about it. Go.
Well, we use Aussie Select, which is we're a proud sponsor of ours. And I was always wondering how I could do something with Aussie Select, being that, it is a cured meat. So we decided we were going to play on a Reuben. We did kind of an Asian flair Reuben in honor of Chef Lance coming on the show. And so we did a little ginger marinade in a slaw and carrots. We seared off the lamb, which was a prime rib. It's lamb prime rib, which was kind of unique to use. Never really thought of using that as a prime rib, but it was really cool. Seared that off with the help of John. We plated that up and made it look beautiful. I can't do anything without John these days, guys. That's the truth. And it was delicious. So we did that, and then we transitioned into fajitas. So we've been saying we need to do fajitas so many times, and we never really figured out how to do it. And I was like, let's use the Aussie Select, and let's use the prime rib to see how that worked out. Beautifully. I was a little worried that we wouldn't get a lot of that flavor of the Mexican flavor in there, and it really transitioned in well. It tasted so good with all the roasted vegetables, all of the above. But Aussie Select, guys, is something that any, it's your chef's best friend. You know, it cuts out a lot of corners and a lot of, you know, back in the day, you wouldn't want to buy something that was already pre-cooked or pre-made. These, they're made for chefs. So it's out there. It's the best product you can buy and reasonably priced, $12 to $15 a pound. I mean, you can't beat that with a steak, guys.
I know that Jacqueline's going to be super, super happy. All right. Without further ado, I mean, by the way, listen, Pooch, beautiful. Beautiful stuff you made today. Tastes good too.
Johnny, I gotta give all the credit to Johnny. The food stylist, Johnny.
I mean, seriously.
Come on.
All right, without further ado, Chef Lance, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
I am so excited about meeting you in person at the U.S. Culinary Open in February over at the NAFM show in Atlanta.
Me too.
I want to start with your prodigy because we had a phone, okay. we had a phone call the other day, fairly long call, about an hour, and You were really hyped up on this kid. Talk about him.
His name is Sae-chan Park. He hails from South Korea. He's a student at the CIA where I teach, and he was never my student. However, he was my competitor that I coached for this past year's Skills USA competition that was held also in Atlanta in the same convention center we're doing the U.S. Culinary Open at. I mean, this kid is amazing. The reason why I chose him to be my assistant was his mindset is just so focused and driven when it comes to culinary competition. He's a machine. He really is. He's got a lot of experience already. He represented South Korea in the World Skills competition, international competition. Beautiful food coming from this kid. I say kid, he's 19 years old, and he is just amazing. When we work together and we practice together, he's literally cooking circles around me. I am the privileged one to have him, at my side.
That kind of leads into, this competition. You're up against some heavy hitters, beard chefs and Michelin chefs and, Food Network winners and whatnot. Sure. How does having the right sous chef, in this case, your assistant, how does that fare for you with your nerves going into this competition?
I've been thinking about that for a while. With Sae-chan, having him as my assistant, for me, I can sleep better at night because I know that I have, one of the best young people out there, young chefs out to help me with this. It's kind of like when I was in culinary school, I was actually the assistant for the certified master chef exam. And I feel like, I gave it the best go that I could give. Although I was not nearly as talented as Sae-chan is, but I feel better having him on my side. During practice, he's saved our food more times than I have. My confidence level is increased by, 20-fold having him as my assistant. But looking at the competition, I know on the website, we can see who our competitors are. And I kind of, sort of looked into their backgrounds and looked at them. It would make anyone nervous, obviously, because there's there are people that I'm competing against that, I could only dream to have the kind of experiences that they've had or the kind of chops that they have. So for me, the more I look at it, the more, I guess, nervous I could get and the more uneasy I could get and the more, pressure that builds upon me. So I've decided to go the other route and just not really worry about that at all. If that makes any sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And I know that because of your culinary background from where you're from in Hawaii, that's probably going to find its way into what you're doing there. Are you able to talk about that a little bit?
The theme of my menu really is the flavors of my childhood, or at least the flavors of Hawaii sort of encapsulated into three modern takes on not necessarily singular Hawaiian dishes, but preparations, Hawaiian preparations, utilizing some Hawaiian ingredients that we're going to be able to procure and bring to the competition ourselves, but also techniques. So when I do taste these flavors, it does bring me back to the flavors that I remember in my childhood.
For the record, listeners who have not been to Hawaii yet in their lives, when you get off the plane there, and Chef, we talked about this the other day. When you get off the plane, the first thing, it's a small airport, it's outside. you step off, and the first thing you realize, everything smells like flowers. It's just in, yeah. it's in the air, and it's amazing because you realize that it's paradise, and you're in it, and it's beautiful. And if you can capture just that and have that in your dish, chef, I feel like that is going to. I mean, it's a winner. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think, well, one of the things that I'd like to do is capture some of that terroir. And the only way that we're going to, capture some of that terroir, or at least the nuances of the environment, the effects of the environment on the ingredients of Hawaii, is to get some actual ingredients from Hawaii to be able to use in the competition itself, which I hopefully going to be able to do. There are a number of ingredients that the Department of Agriculture in Hawaii has actually deemed impossible or illegal to take out of Hawaii and ship over. But I'm looking for ways to sort of get around that.
What are some of those items?
So things like Hawaiian lehua taro, so like real actual taro that the Hawaiian taro used for making poi and other things like kulolo and other taro preparations. Without actually Department of Ag inspection and certification, you can't ship them out nor take them out of Hawaii.
Is that because they touched down in California first?
I don't exactly know why that rule is in place. I have a feeling that it's because they want to keep those crops exclusive to Hawaii, and they don't want people propagating them outside of Hawaii. Partly that, and then also invasive species. So maybe some pest, pest transfer between Hawaii and the mainland. So I'm looking to sort of get around that with certain ingredients. I think I may be able to talk to the authorities there because I am going for a business visit in a few weeks, so that I'll be able to maybe possibly get something going.
What was the culture shock to go from small town Hawaii to the CIA?
I think the biggest culture shock was the weather. in Hawaii, it's one season. You got one season all year round. Coldest it gets is maybe low 60s, high 50s in some places. So, coming here right now, it's, in the low 40s. And so, that took a little bit of getting used to, although I do enjoy winter. I do. I just don't like shoveling my driveway after a longer winter. So. Yeah,
nobody likes that.
Yeah.
Chef, how would you describe how you apply your mentoring, your teaching philosophy to culinary competition?
I do coach. When I do coach culinary competition, one of the things that we focus on is the method of practice. And so when I talk about best methods of practice, we want to practice exactly the way that we're going to compete, right? So the term is, when they say practice makes perfect, really perfect practice makes perfect. And so, cutting corners when it comes to practicing with my competitors really doesn't get us anywhere, because all it does is handicap us in the end. So what we do is we want to set ourselves up, set up the kitchen as close to competition as possible. And our time frames are exactly, the same time frames that we're going to be competing in. I get it. We try to get it down to the absolute minute detail, which is why Nick and Polly Barrington at the U.S. Culinary Open, I think they're sick of my emails already, because I've emailed them probably 3 or 4 times a week with all these little tiny minutia details. But this is how we roll when it comes to practice, so that we are absolutely ready, and that, we can plan for contingencies, and we can plan for things that can go wrong. If anything can go wrong, we will plan for it to happen, to the point where, we've got little mini first aid kits in our pocket, if we cut ourselves, so we can, take care of it right then and there, instead of searching for a first aid kit.
If anyone missed it, the secret is preparing, but preparing perfectly. And you're putting a lot of time into this. How often are you and your assistant actually practicing?
So we have been practicing once a week for the past, I believe, almost 3 months now, 2 or 3 months. And those are five to six hour practices. We're going to transition to twice a week after this.
That's intense.
After the break. Yeah.
Yeah, that's serious. And I think it's really, it's funny, but great that you're stalking the competition, by the way.
Well, know your competition.
No, yeah, no. You know? But that's serious. You're a competitor, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so I've had to sort of, you know, pull back from that because, again, it does play with my mind for a little bit. But I think it's more important when you're a competitor. What's more important is to stop the judges, to know what the judges are like. You know, what kind of culinary world are they coming out of? And you know, three of the four judges are all they're CMCs.
They're master chefs. Like, that's got to be more pressure than the competitors.
Sure, absolutely. And I mean, being at the CIA, I've worked with a bunch of master chefs. There are people too, but you know, when it comes to competition, you know, they're a different breed.
Are you trying to say that they bleed? Come on, man. They don't.
What I found from certified master chefs is that they like to stand on the traditions. And
they do.
So that sometimes, in my opinion, from a culinary world, makes it a little bit easier. Because you can kind of go traditional and use traditional sauces, traditional things that they would pick up on. But at the end of the day, this is a big deal. It's the first one. So, I mean, I think that everyone's coming correct, whether it be the competitors to the judges to the whole city. The whole culinary scene in Atlanta is ready for this, which is pretty cool. I think it's going to have a lot of fanfare behind it and a lot of people there to cheer you on, cheer everyone else on, and really make this a big event.
I think what's fascinating is how you're balancing traditional methods and modern techniques between French and Hawaiian cuisines. I think that is a story in and of itself, because you've figured out a way to implement, you know, some Hawaiian culinary into your program.
Yes. So the Hawaiian class that I teach, it has a mix of both traditional Hawaiian foods and I guess local Hawaiian, modern local Hawaiian foods, which really are an amalgam of all the different cultures that have sort of found their way to Hawaii. And Hawaii really is truly a melting pot, right? So you have these two different eras. You have the ancient Hawaiian era, which, you know, they came over on canoes and they basically brought over, you know, a handful of crops and, you know, and pigs and chickens. And really, that's really what they had besides the coconuts and fish that were already on the island. So that's your ancient Hawaiian cuisine, which is very simple, very just straightforward, simple cuisine, not too many cooking techniques. But then, you know, then you fast forward to later with all these cultures coming to Hawaii, and you have, you know, immigrants from all over the world coming and bringing their cultures in. And all of a sudden, local Hawaiian cuisine is something totally different. But the ingredients that grow in Hawaii, I mean, there are it's a vast amount of ingredients, but the real locally sourced ingredients that, and many of them are canoe crops from ancient Hawaii, do work well with a modern, even French technique. So we try to put some of that in there, but in my menu for the U.S. Culinary Open, I have, you know, preparations like I'm using breadfruit and I'm taking breadfruit and making a gratin or a dauphinois with it. And so breadfruit works very similarly to potatoes. And so potato dauphinois obviously is a classic French technique, but it works beautifully with breadfruit.
I did a 1-year apprenticeship, ACF, back in the day, 94. And, you know, I was always told, sure, you know, and I had ambitions to go to CIA or do the Disney program. And I was, it was kind of coerced into going into the ACF program and doing a 1-year apprenticeship, which I very much appreciate now. What are the biggest challenges that culinary students face these days?
I think that when it comes to doing an apprenticeship versus getting a degree in an accredited program like the CIA, because there are others out there, I think the main difference is the understanding of possibly food science and what's going on a molecular or scientific level when it comes to your food. That, to me, that's, in my opinion, the biggest advantage of having a degree, or at least a degree from from the CIA and coming into my class, because I employ a lot of food science in there. But then beyond that, you know, you now also have, I guess, a career ceiling, if that makes any sense, where, you know, you can start off at a certain, after you graduate from the CIA or from other culinary schools, you can start off at a certain, I guess, level in the kitchen, where we talk about being either a, you know, chef de partie or chef de cuisine, instead of starting off in prep and work your way up from there. Or you also can, you know, branch off to these other, you know, these other facets of the food service industry, or really food, or the gastronomy industry in general, research and development, food systems, even, you know, institutional cuisine. I think that the way that things are going now, like, especially with the CIA, we're considered the term now is the world's premier food college. And so we're looking at degree or at looking at the CIA more as a college or university type of education rather than just a culinary school these days. So we have, you know, five different, you know, culinary majors now, and we just started a master's program at the CIA. Whereas before, you know, you could get an associate's degree, and then, you know, when I graduated, there was one bachelor's degree available, and I got that bachelor's degree in culinary management. Now, you know, we have food science, we've got, you know, food systems and a number of other, you know, even specializations. The apprenticeships, though, although I do also, I'm also an advocate of apprenticeships and even vocational school programs, simply because there are some people who are not necessarily cut out for any academic-based culinary school. Going into those programs, you know, you get real world experience, dirt under your nails and the elbow grease. And it's something that's an invaluable thing for young people to really, you know, form their chops before they, you know, before they get out there and really, you know, start their careers. So I think both have their pros and cons.
And it really is an interesting topic. I feel like maybe after the show into 25, Chef, we can have you back on for a longer session and get into this a little bit further. Sure. 'Cause I do want to get in, we don't have time today, but I want to get into your, a little bit of your actual history in the kitchen. But let's say that we're going to catch up at NAFM.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to have the whole crew there, video, the podcast, the whole nine yards. So we'll get into it. How do people find you on the socials?
So that's funny, because I've kind of stayed off of the social media. I'm kind of a ghost out there. I do have a LinkedIn account, but that's pretty much it. You can find me at the on the CIA website. I do have my email address there. But that's about it. I try to stay off of social media as much as possible.
Heard, Chef. I can't blame you for that in many instances. All right, Chef Lance Nitahara, you can find him on LinkedIn. And I really appreciate you coming on the show today, Chef.
Happy holidays, Chef.
Pooch, appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, sir.
Glad you came in for this. John, as always, you're amazing. Check out that Aussie Select, guys. Yeah. We appreciate you. Thank you. We are out.
Boom.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.